The following is an encore episode of The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde. On this episode, Archbishop Rohde, Father Stephen Frizzell, and Pat Ahrensberg talk about the Feast of Christ the King. We hope you enjoy. From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and also featuring the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Parish, Father Stephen Frizzell. And now, here's your host, the Director of the Office of Religious Education, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life.
And I'm Father Stephen Frizzell, Pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish at Tillman's Corner. And we are joined and led, as always, by our Archbishop, Thomas Rohde.
Thank you, Father Frizzell. Thank you, Mr. Ahrensberg. Always a pleasure to be with you and those who are listening on the radio.
Well, Archbishop, we are going to talk a little bit about a feast that we celebrated recently, the Feast of Christ the King. But before we get into that conversation, would you lead us in an opening prayer?
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, dear God, thank you. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for calling us to be your sons, your daughters. Help us truly to let your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, be King of our lives, that everything we do reflects the fact that we believe in you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and seek to live lives that give you honor and glory. Be with us in our joys and in our struggles as we offer our prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, so I presume, as many Catholics might presume, Archbishop, the Feast of Christ the King dates back to Calvary, when hanging over Christ's head was the statement of his crime, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Well, is that where this feast comes from?
Well, you know, in a sense, you're right. In a sense, well, not exactly, in that the gospel reading for the Feast of Christ the King was exactly that scene from the gospel of Jesus hanging on the cross and telling the other condemned criminal, this day you will be with me in paradise. That was Jesus Christ being king as much as now reigning in glory. But our feast in the church calendar, and we have a number of feasts, some go back hundreds of years, centuries, but the Feast of Christ the King, in church terms, is relatively recent. It was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925, which is less than 100 years ago. But it was established at a time between World War I and World War II, when dictatorships were beginning to take over the countries of Europe. And people were following these charismatic dictators and forgetting that our real king, our real leader, is Jesus Christ. And these dictatorships were unchristian, if not anti-Christian. And it was a reminder that Jesus Christ is king of the world, king of our lives, and not to lose sight of that as country after country succumbed, fell under dictatorships.
You know, I'm struck by the fact that it's such a recent feast day, Father Frizzell, because here's one thing I notice when I take pilgrims to a place like St. Peter's. We have such a rich patrimony that we've received from the church. We kind of feel like the package is completed. It's wrapped. It's under the tree. Here is the church. Here's the faith. And it's done. And it's delivered to you. Well, it's alive. It's continuing to grow. Feast days are added. New saints are canonized. New saints are baptized. Please God, every day in the church. So it's a living, breathing, changing but unchanging, like you and I are, entity.
Yes, certainly. As the Archbishop said, every feast that we have started at some point, even if it is 100 or 200 or 1,000 years old. Like for instance, the feast day of Corpus Christi. Not something we always had, but it was instituted at a time to respond to a loss of faith or laxity in belief about what the Eucharist is. And so the church says, let's have a feast and kind of rally around what we believe. In very much the same way, the institution of the Feast of Christ, the King of the Universe, in the early 20th century was a response to people being led astray with regard to, who is the true ruler, who has dominion over all of creation, not just in a broad sense, but even in our daily lives, in our nations, in the state.
This feast was begun in 1925. Only a few years later, the then Bishop Tulin, later Archbishop Tulin, decided to implement it here in our archdiocese in a way that reflected what Pope Pius XI was calling for, because the Pope was reminding Catholics all over the world that we need to publicly profess our faith at a time that faith was being attacked by these dictatorships, to publicly live our faith. And so Bishop Tulin decided that we would do that here in Mobile with a public gesture of a procession through the streets. And so in the 1930s, we began here in the Archdiocese of Mobile a public procession. That procession was discontinued by Archbishop Tulin in the 1960s. But then when I became Archbishop, it was still remembered and remembered so fondly that we resume having, in a much simpler fashion, a public procession through the streets of downtown Mobile, which we do annually now on the Feast of Christ the King.
You know, I think those kinds of manifestations speak powerfully to a culture. I know that we do the Stations of the Cross through downtown Mobile, and it really sort of brings the church out of the church building out into the streets, and I think it's a powerful form of evangelization.
Certainly. I mean, sorry to harken back to a feast day that we're not actually talking about, but Corpus Christi, too, is known for having public displays of our faith in the Eucharist by actually walking around outside in prayer. I've always heard many, many fond stories of the old procession for Christ the King, and how all the schools would participate. And mainly the stories, though, revolve around how strict so-and-so's teacher was and making certain that they were dressed correctly or walking in the straight line and everything. But, you know, everybody certainly enjoyed being a part of something that is very clearly expressing that we believe that Christ is King. So it's really comforting to me, even though I never experienced the old processions, very comforting to me that we still do that, and that I was even able to participate a few years ago when my father was nominated for the Christ the King Medal, which I believe we're going to talk about in a little bit, the medal.
Yeah. Now, Archbishop, what's the procession route? Is it fairly short?
It will begin in Bienville Square in the heart of downtown Mobile, and then we process for a quarter of a mile to the cathedral. And there we celebrate the Mass of the Feast of Christ the King. You know, and this public procession is a symbolic gesture that we are to publicly live our faith and not be ashamed of it and to let it show forth. The reason why Pope Pius XI in 1925 would start this feast was exactly that. The Catholics needed to publicly live their faith as society was turning against the public living out of the faith, the public free expression of religion. Well, our times are different, and yet the challenge is the same, that in our increasingly secular society, it is just as important now that we remember that faith is not just something we celebrate inside a church building, that we need to bring the example of our faith, the witness of our faith, out into the public.
Certainly, we don't settle for freedom of worship, which is a private idea, right?
Free exercise of religion, which means that we are to be able to exercise our religion publicly.
And, of course, we can be good citizens and good Catholics,
indeed,
but not in that order. So I think of some of the last words that St. Thomas More uttered before his martyrdom. That was, "I die the King's good servant, but God's first."
Amen.
So that's a great reminder of Christ the King.
So we have a special way of celebrating Christ the King, not only this public procession, but also we recognize an individual from each of the parishes of our archdiocese who is outstanding in publicly living the faith. In whatever way that may be, there's so many different ways to publicly live the faith. And so the pastor of each parish and each mission church is invited to select someone from that parish or mission that will be honored, will be recognized at the Christ the King Mass in the cathedral, and receive a beautiful medal, which we call the Christ the King Medal. It's a very bright gold medal, deliberately chosen, because just as the medal is bright, we are called to allow the love of God to brightly shine through each one of us.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ernsberg here with Father Verzel and, of course, our shepherd, Archbishop Rohde. We're talking about the Feast of Christ the King.
So, Archbishop, my perspective on the Christ the King Medal has changed over time. So when I was first installed as pastor at St. Vincent's by you, thank you once again. It's
an honor.
A work that I truly enjoy and I'm given life by. But when I first came to St. Vincent's, we had to nominate someone for this medal, and I didn't really know anyone there. So, of course, we depend on the parish council, and we deliberate, and they put forth names and everything, and I really just kind of went along with their recommendations because I wouldn't have known any better and wouldn't want to impose, like, oh, I just think it's this person that I've known for a couple months. But now, having been there for 6 years, having gotten to know the people, number one, it's been truly special to sort of get to know those who have already gotten the medal, those who the parish and pastors before me had recognized as being true servants of Christ and true servants of the parish and the body of Christ, that, like, well, these people definitely were deserving of this recognition, but also to have gotten to know the people in the parish and to participate in nominating them, recognizing, because it's a parish is not the pastor. The pastor is just there for whatever limited space of time that he's going to be there serving. The parish, the real life of the parish is the people that are there. They're the ones that are going to be there for a long time, all their lives in many cases. And so to have gotten to know and to have gotten to depend upon the service of those people who are there every Sunday, but also there many days during the week, always, you know, the first ones to show up for an event, the last ones to leave, those who are pouring themselves out, serving the poor in the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, the people who are just very faithful as, you know, sacristans, liturgical ministers, music ministers, to be able to, I mean, in a certain sense, it's difficult because I have to pick somebody, and there are so many people that are deserving of this kind of recognition, but still to be able to have a way to not just me say thank you to these people, which I do often and regularly, but to say, hey, Archbishop, this person has done a remarkable job in following Christ, and we would like to nominate them for you to recognize them. It really is a very special thing that is done and very much appreciated by all the parishioners. Like, I remember when I announced our nominee for this year, the applause that broke out in the church, like, everybody knew that that person has given herself so profoundly in our parish. And so, like I said, my perspective definitely has changed over the years because it was more or less strangers that I was, you know, certainly appreciative of, but didn't really know. But now that I know them so well, and I'm so happy to see them get this recognition, so I just want to thank you for that.
Well, when we started this, and this is our 11th year to do it, it is possible for the Archbishop to give an award, but I would only give it to those that I knew. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people in our parishes that go unrecognized who are doing so much good work. And so for each parish to be able to select a person to be recognized, there it gives an opportunity for people who may be doing some wonderful work but are not well known outside of their parish for all that they're doing, and go, for the most part, unthanked. and unrecognized. And so it's a nice way of recognizing people who are not known outside of their parish. And we recognize them because they are deserving, because they do so much to build up the kingdom of God. But it's not just to recognize them. Jesus says, let your light shine brightly before men so that people may give praise to your Father in heaven. And that's what this recognition is all about. It's not about just recognizing these wonderful people, but also to praise God, that God actually wants to work through us, flawed, frail, sinful human beings, that God actually wants to work through us, and that God does work through us, and for us to use whatever opportunities that we have in our daily lives to bring the love of God to others and to bring others to the love of Christ.
You know, as you were talking about God working through us and wanting to work through us and letting the light shine that way, made me think of the Magnificat by Our Lady. You know, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord because he's looked on my lowliness, mm-hmm. and look what he's doing through me. Mm-hmm. So all of these medal winners are shining light to the world, but it's the light of Christ that's being shown. I have a couple of quick questions for you, Archbishop. So the Christ the King medal, you started that as Archbishop. It wasn't something that was already part of the Christ the King.
No, I started it. Yes.
And have you found that over these 11 years, the number of parishes that participate and have a nominee and participate then in the Mass has grown, or was it immediately?
It was immediate. You know, we have 76 parishes. We have 12 missions. The great majority of the parishes participate and missions participate, just about everyone. So it was well received from the very beginning. The challenge that pastors had, it was not that they didn't want to participate. It was difficult to select one person because mm-hmm. there are so many people working in many different ways, serving in many different ways to build up the kingdom of God. And I'd hope the medal, the Christ the King medal, would remind us of that. There is not just one way to be outstanding in serving the people of God. You know, St. Paul uses the image of the body. When all the parts of the body work together, the body's strong. And so, you know, which would we prefer to have, our hands or our feet? Well, we want both. They're both important. You know, which is more useful to us, our ears or our eyes? Well, we want both. You know, which is more necessary, our lungs or our heart? Well, both. And when all the parts of the body work together, the body's strong. Well, the same way, there's so many ways to serve God and to serve neighbor. There's no one way to do it. And when people work together as the family of God, then the family is strong. Just like when the parts of the body work together well, the body is strong. And so the medal hopefully conveys this. There are different ways. I'll tell a little story. Years ago when I was a young priest, you know, I was talking with my spiritual director and I said, you know, I know Sister So-and-so, she cooks and serves at a food kitchen for the poor. And my ministry is not working with the poor day after day. I just wonder if maybe I should go and work in a soup kitchen. And my spiritual director smiled and he said, let's face it. He said, you're not a good cook and you'd make a lousy nun. And he says, you have your ministry, and so do it well. Sister has her ministry in the soup kitchen. She does her ministry well. You do your ministry well. And together, we build up the kingdom of God.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM, with Father Rizal and the Archbishop. We're talking about Christ the King. I guess, you know, Archbishop, there are masses that are celebrated at the cathedral, whether it's ordination or chrism mass. People come from all over the diocese. I've run into people from Dothan and Auburn, but I don't know that every parish is there. You know, there are people from all over, but I don't know that, you know, that Our Lady of Guadalupe in Wetumpka, I don't know if I've bumped into anybody at one of those masses from that parish. and et cetera. So it's kind of neat to have in the cathedral folks from so many parishes, because I presume they come for the reception and friends of theirs come. And
just about every honoree was there at Christ the King. I mean, some people just are physically not able to travel, but from all over the archdiocese. You know, I was talking with people Sunday from Tallahassee and Eufaula and Butler and Dothan and Montgomery and Prattville, and I mean, all over the archdiocese. And it shows how much this means to people, that they're willing to drive 2, 3, 4 hours to come to the cathedral for this celebration. But as much as we have some wonderful celebrations through the years, as you mentioned, Pat, this Mass, more than any other, reflects the diversity of our archdiocese. And we're a very diverse archdiocese, and we have Masses celebrated in Spanish and Vietnamese and Korean and the Filipino language of Tagalog, and we are white and black, Hispanic, etc. At this Mass, we have people from every parish. It is such a diverse congregation that gathers in the cathedral. And it's the one Mass that we see each other in a very special way. We look around and we see what a diverse group of people we are that make up the family of God here in the Archdiocese of Mobile. So it's a beautiful expression of our diversity and at the same time of our unity, because we're there as one family.
And it seems the appropriate time, being the Feast of Christ the King, because he'll gather all nations together, people of every, you know, different races, different parts of the world, and there's only one king in the end, and it's him.
That's true.
So it's an uplifting celebration to have such a visible sign of our unity, of our diversity, and of the call of God to work in each one of us. You know, I think sometimes we just forget that God wants to work through me, each one of us, you, me, everyone who's listening to this. God wants to work through me. And you know, the gospel passage, Sunday, as I mentioned earlier in the program, was Jesus hanging on the cross, telling the thief, "This day you'll be in paradise." That was a most unlikely person for the love of God to reach out to. And you know, there are people in our lives that we consider very unlikely candidates for the love of God. And we can be tempted just to write them off. If that gospel teaches us anything, it teaches us that no one is beyond the love, the mercy of God, and we're called to bring that mercy to them. You know, sometimes some of our neighbors who are not Catholic will walk into a Catholic church and they see a crucifix, a cross with the statue of Jesus hanging on it, and they are struck by that, and I know that because they'll mention it to me. They say, in our church, we just have a plain cross. We don't have Jesus on the cross. Jesus has triumphed over the cross. Why do you Catholics so often have a crucifix instead? You know, and there's nothing wrong with a plain cross. That's fine. But why so often Catholics will have a crucifix, Jesus still on the cross? A number of reasons we could come up with, but just one I'll share is that Jesus is still on the cross because the church is still on the cross. The church is suffering, and Jesus is there with us. And because Jesus is there with us, he calls us to be with people in their crosses, their times of darkness, their difficulties, their sorrow, and to bring the love of God to whoever they are, no matter how unlikely they may seem to us to be a candidate for God's love.
So I was just pondering about God always working through us, and it'd be so much easier for him just to do it. But, you know, love has to be put into action, or it's not really love. And I think that God allows us the freedom to move so that we can put our love into action. He's from the beginning, he's always relied on secondary causes, you know, to create new life, to spread the gospel. I mean, you name the endeavor, he always leaves it with his grace to us to do. so that we can do it.
Indeed. And I think the just to go specifically to the Christ the King medal once again, just that's sort of a little microcosm of very much how the church works in recognize when we see holiness, we recognize it. When we see God working in someone, we recognize it, and we lift that person up as an example in the grandest way with the saints, but even in small ways with people who are still alive here on this earth doing the Lord's work right now. We need examples of that. We need for, you know, the parishioners who aren't being recognized with the Christ, or the, you know, the new parishioner that's all, the new family that's just shown up. Oh, someone actually loves this place that they've spent their lives serving it here, and maybe I can follow Christ that same way. So it's not even just to give a pat on the back to those who have received the medal, but also to hopefully encourage others to follow after.
Now, as this celebration, one thing I was thinking earlier, Archbishop, is we have a beautiful cathedral. I know the church's beauty is in its people, but we're pretty blessed. We're a lot of these folks who come to Christ the King, first time to get into the cathedral?
First time. It's amazing how many Catholics in our archdiocese have never been to the cathedral, have never been to a mass of the cathedral. And it is our church. It belongs to everyone in the archdiocese. A cathedral means the place where the bishop's main chair is, which is a cathedra. And so the church where that has the chair is the cathedral, and where the great, more important moments of the life of the church and the diocese are to be celebrated, such as Christ the King. But so many people have never been in their church.
Yeah, so if you're listening, come to your church. Come see it.
Come see it sometime. Love your parish, but just remember the cathedral is your mother church.
And of course, the diocese does go out for a lot of activities. I know you travel all around. We do the rite of election in different places. So, you know, we're a big geographical area, but, you know, sometimes it's worth coming down to the Sea City and visiting the cathedral. It's beautiful. Archbishop, would you give us a blessing before we close?
May the blessing of God be upon each of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You've been listening to The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring Father Stephen Verzel as well as Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.